We're going to look at two verses here this morning. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's start off in verse 7. Amen. And we're going to read these two verses as you remain standing, and then we'll pray, and then I'll allow you to take your seats here this morning. Amen. And so let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Praise the Lord. And once again, amen, we just want to just extend our condolences and our prayers to all those victims from yesterday's terrible shooting, amen, in El Paso, and even last night, early this morning, in Dayton, Ohio, amen. Let's keep those families in our prayers, amen. Let's keep them in our prayers, amen. Praise the Lord. We know that sometimes, you know, just because it's not close to home, amen, or didn't happen here, it doesn't mean anything, amen. We're still the people of God, amen. And as the people of God, we're called to pray, amen. So I'm going to share just a little bit here this morning on that line, amen, because we know that when stuff like that happens, the enemy will try to come in, amen. But, you know, God always raises up a standard against the enemy, praise the Lord. And so, we want to keep them in our thoughts and prayers, amen. Also, amen, I want to make mention for all our church, those that can, to join us in our fast, amen. We're going to start an absolute fast, amen, or we want to try a different fast at 6 p.m. today, from 6 p.m. today to 6 p.m. tomorrow, amen. Praise the Lord. And we're fasting for favor, amen. We're fasting for favor. Me and my wife are going to go into a meeting, hopefully tomorrow, and we're going to be discussing some plans, hopefully, to maybe just purchase our property, amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise for that. Now, whatever happens, amen, whatever happens, we know God's in control, amen, but we're believing for favor, amen. So, you know, even if you don't fast with us, will you remember to pray for us tomorrow? Amen. Just pray for me, your pastor, our church, amen, as we meet with our landlord. We're going to pray that God will move in his heart, amen, and that we'll be able to have a plan to be able to purchase this property. And then we can make a lot of renovations, amen, to our building and expand and do so many things, amen, that we want to do and prepare for our future, amen. Prepare for our future, because we believe that one day as we purchase, amen, later on we might be able to sell and buy land and build our own church, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody get excited for that, amen. I mean, no, si se puede. Come on, somebody. Amen. It can happen, amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So pray for us tomorrow, amen. Pray for us, amen. And we're going in trusting God, amen. We're just going to trust God. And that's the title of my message again this morning, amen. This is part 3, in trusting God, amen. So if you're there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Thank you, worship team, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. My worship leader said I'm turned up to Jesus. Oh no, he said my collar was turned up. Oh, same thing. Amen. It gets like that no matter how hard I iron it. Amen. It's probably like the buttons like screaming like, yeah, let me go. That's a problem. Don't laugh, amen. You got the same problem. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Are you there?
Amen.
Let's go. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want you to know here that God is talking to his people.
Right.
Are his people in the house?
Amen.
He's talking to the church.
Amen.
And he tells the church they got to humble themselves.
Amen.
They got to pray.
Right.
They got to seek his face.
Amen.
And they got to turn from their wicked ways.
Come on now.
You got to change your evil ways.
Come on now.
No.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to chapter 20 now. Chapter 20, verse 20. The title of my message again this morning is Trusting God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa.
As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God,
amen,
and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." Father, bless the reading of your word to our hearts here this morning. God, anoint me, God, with your precious anointing, Father. Lord, speak through me here tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use me as a funnel here this morning, that you would be able to flow through me into your people's lives. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, I pray, God, that your word would go out and not come back void. Let your word do what it was called to do, edify, build up, correct, rebuke, instruct, in right living. Lord, we surrender to your will for the next 45 minutes to 30 minutes, God. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray, everybody says.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is our third week learning to trust God.
Yes.
I hope you've been enjoying the messages.
Amen.
But most of all, I hope that you've been learning to trust God more and more.
Yes.
I know I have. The more I live, the more I realize the need to trust God more and more in my life.
Right, amen.
For some of you young people, sometimes serving God ain't all that appealing. Reading your Bible, coming to church, hearing the message. But you know, as you continue to live and grow older, you're going to realize that more and more you need God in your life.
Right, amen.
More and more, you need to trust God in your life. Can I hear the grown-ups say amen?
Amen.
Because the more I live, the more I realize I need to trust God more. Even as a pastor. As a pastor, I need to trust God in building the church.
Amen.
It's not easy to build a church. It's not easy to build a ministry. I know we come and gather and we have great worship and it's like we're in the presence of God and, you know, we have an all right building and it's like, man, you know, it's okay, you know. But it's not easy to build a ministry for God.
Amen.
I want you to know that we pioneered this church.
Amen.
I want you to know that me and my wife, we started this church with nothing. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We didn't have no chairs. We didn't have no people. We didn't have a worship team. She knew how to play the piano a little bit. And I know I just act like I knew how to sing. We just all we knew was to hit the streets and to pray for people. And all we knew was to pray fast, hit the streets, invite people to church. We were just trusting God that God had called us to this. We were just trusting God that we heard the voice of God to start a ministry. And listen, it was an audible voice. It wasn't a voice that I heard from heaven. Go start a church in Grand Prairie and Arlington. No, it wasn't like that. But I heard it in my heart. I heard it in my spirit. I heard it through my pastors and through my leaders. And we were just dumb enough to believe God. And we stepped out in faith to go to the city of Arlington. Now we're here in Grand Prairie. But look what the Lord has done. Out of nothing, he raised up something. As a pastor, I need to trust God in building the church even more and more. As a father, I need to trust God with my children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. It's not easy to trust trust your care to any, to trust the care of your children to anybody.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody. It's not easy, you know, school's about to start, right? Come on now. Is anybody taking their child to kindergarten for the first time? Amen. To first grade for the first time. Do you remember how it felt, Mom?
Yes.
Oh, see, I knew the moms would agree. Come on now. The husbands are like, yeah, take them. Amen. You know, we need a break. Come on now. Amen. But it's not easy to trust, you know, the care of your children to anybody.
Right.
Amen. And as a father, as a parent, we have to trust God with our children to protect and look after our children.
Right.
Even as a believer, I need to trust God with my whole life.
Right.
As a Christian, we got to trust God with every facet of our life.
Amen.
Every facet of our life. As a citizen of the world, we need to trust God because it's easy to lose heart And it's easy to lose our minds in this world. Because this world's a crazy place. As we just experienced. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? We need to trust God just to be a citizen, just to live in this world. I don't see how somebody can be an atheist or agnostic. Come on, somebody. I would lose my mind if it wasn't for God. Well, you're weak-minded, huh? Just call it what you want. Amen. But I got to trust God with my life, with everything. Yesterday, as many of you may know, another mass shooting took place. But sadly, again, a lot closer to home. Yeah. In El Paso, Texas. Yeah. It is easy. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, we had another shooting. I was putting this message together. It was about 12:30 when I finished. And then probably about 30 minutes later, there was another shooting in Dayton, Ohio. Wow. Matter of fact, our elders were just there this week. Wow. Pastor Sonny, our founder, and some of our elders were there just there this week looking to plant a church. Don't tell me that ain't God.
That's right.
Don't tell me that Victory Outreach ain't a ministry on the cutting edge. Don't tell me we're not a ministry that prays and hears the voice of God. Because we were already looking today in Ohio. God had already put it in our leader's heart. Because he knew that God is raising up a ministry for such a time as this. We are an end time ministry. We are a front line ministry. We are a ministry in the trenches. We don't run to the suburbs. We don't run to where everything's kosher. We go to where the needs at. We go to the concrete jungles of the world. We go where the drug infestations at. And that's everywhere nowadays. Pardon me, I get a little excited sometimes.
It's all right, Pastor.
See, it's easy to not think of it, think of these shootings too much. It's easy not to think of them too much and just say a prayer for them. And go about our lives. I got a new saying for you. Don't just pray about it. Be about it.
Come on now.
Oh, we need prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors that are going to pray for our city.
That's right.
Matter of fact, yesterday we went to the march, the walk and talk with Scott Hinkle Ministries. And I'm proud of our church. Not a lot of us went, but we were the biggest group there. Come on, somebody. And we went there, and there was pastors from other churches, and we were praying for our city. We were praying for the Metroplex, because you haven't seen the news lately. There's been a lot of shootings. There's been a lot of violence. There's been a lot of activity in the streets. The devil's been busy in Dallas, Fort Worth. But listen, God raises up a standard, and God has a remnant of people in this city that are not going to back down, that are not going to shy away. But we're going to declare we have the answer to drug addiction. We have the answer to violence, and the answer is Jesus. The only one that can put love into a heart is Jesus Christ. And what this world needs is more love. In other words, they need more Jesus. And we were there praying. We were there praying for our city. It's important for us to pray. But we didn't just pray. After the prayer meeting, all of us got up, all of our church, all those pastors, all those that were there gathered, and we invaded the streets of downtown Dallas, and we started to share the love of Jesus right there in the middle, in the heart of the Metroplex.
Right.
So we're not just going to pray about it, we're going to be about it. We're going to pray, and we're going to do something about it. But it's easy to not think of these shootings sometimes and just say a prayer and go about our lives. Or also, it can be easy to be gripped with fear. And be gripped with anger and even hatred. See, it's sometimes some people, they get gripped with fear, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going to Walmart no more. I'm not going out to eat no more. I'm not going to go to the movies no more. I'm not going to go to the church no more. All these public places. It's easy to allow, try to fear to grip your hearts. But what's the proper attitude that God would have us to take? The proper attitude God would have us to take is an attitude that puts our trust in God's. So therefore, this morning, I want to give you my four last points on things that show you trust God. Number one, which shows you trust God, is trusting God is to not live in fear. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Trusting God is to not live in fear.
Amen.
There's a lot of people in the Bible that had to face their fears.
Right, amen.
David faced his fear in Goliath the giant. Jonathan faced his fear in facing Jericho. Moses faced his fear in facing Pharaoh.
Come on.
Jesus even had a little bit of fear in facing the cross.
Come on.
Why do you think he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yeah. But all of them overcame their fear.
Right.
When I hear news like yesterday's news, I know the enemy will use that news to try to put fear inside of people's lives. But over and over and over again, the Bible tells us not to fear. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 56 verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 through 7. Do not be anxious. Those anxiety attacks that you get because you got a phobia of something. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I don't give as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's real easy for the enemy to try to put fear in our hearts and fear in our minds when we look at the news. But there's no need to fear to come to church. There's no need to fear to live our lives. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a spirit of power. He gave us an anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. An anointing that has been breaking the chains of addiction, of alcoholism, of meth, of ice, of gang violence. That's the anointing that we carry inside of us. Pull it out and use it, Victory Outreach. He doesn't want us to live in fear.
Right.
You know that God does not want us to live in fear. But the enemy does. Matter of fact, you know, some churches, they hire people to come, you know, give us like a class on an emergency or a shooting emergency, right? I don't need to hire nobody. I'll tell you what to do. If some dummy comes in here like that, huh? Because I know the devil probably lied to some of you. Oh, man, you're scared. So listen, let me give you a plan if that ever does happen. It's not going to happen, but if it does, huh? This is what I want you to do. All the ladies, you just say Jesus. Can we practice it real quick?
Right. Come on.
Huh? 1, 2, 3, say it. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
Oh, that's too weak. You have to get a little louder than that.
Come on,
are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
Okay, one more time. 1, 2, 3. Oh, when that demon hears that name, he has to flee in 5 different directions. Because demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And then what I want the guys to do. Are you ready for this, guys? Pick up your chair and just throw it at him. He don't know what church he walked into this. Oh, you ain't hearing me. We're Victory Outreach. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we knock them out with all our chairs, we'll lay hands on them and put them in the men's home. I'm serious. I'm serious. That's our plan, Victory Outreach. God doesn't want us to live in fear, but the enemy does. So whenever you sense fear coming, know that it's not from God, but from the devil trying to paralyze you from moving forward with God. So many times the enemy tries to paralyze us with fear. Fear paralyzes. Faith releases. Some live in bondage to their fears or their phobias. Do you remember when the movie Arachnophobia came out? Come on now, you remember that one? Wave at me if you remember that, just me, amen, my age. After that movie, more people were afraid of spiders than ever. I mean, we were already afraid of them, come on somebody. But after that movie that we saw, we were even more afraid. Come on now. I mean, you were looking under your bed before you laid down. Come on now, looking for crawling objects. You were looking under your seat before you sat down. You were like opening the covers real nice and close, like, man. Because see, that's how people respond still today after seeing their fears on the screen. Huh? See, the devil knows what he's doing. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air.
Come on now.
Yeah. Break it down. You
gotta be careful watching too much news. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Watching too much social media news.
That's right.
Because all that negativity is pumped inside. It's the devil pumping it inside you to try to get you to live in fear. Instead of having the screen in front of you, or if it is the screen, I hope that it's your Bible app. Instead of having that, put your Bible in front of you. And I guarantee you that your fears will vanish and your faith will rise. Is there anybody here that wants their fears to vanish and their faith to rise? Because listen, God did not call us to have a spirit of fear. You don't need to be afraid to go to Walmart just because you've seen the news. You don't need to be afraid to go outside. You don't need to be afraid of anything. Some have a fear of germs. You know, they carry the little antibiotics everywhere they go. You know, that's all right. Amen. Godliness is next to cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible. It's not a verse. Amen. But it sounds good. Some people are afraid of germs. Huh? Afraid of germs. Some people are they have a phobia of flying in a plane. Oh, come on, somebody. I ain't getting on that thing. Come on, somebody. Biggest guy in the world, but afraid of planes. Come on, somebody. Huh? Some people are even afraid of going to public places. I've prayed for people. So, Pastor, pray for me because I have a thing. And they say, I love coming to church, but I don't like being in a room full of people. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Come on. Huh? And I pray for me. And that's the fear. That's from the enemy.
That's right.
He's trying to keep you from the people of God. He's trying to keep you from the presence of God. He's trying to keep you from the preaching of God's words. There's some people that are afraid of public speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's why we ask you to testify. You know, you're like, what, when, how, what? Oh. They faint. Come on, somebody. It's a fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
Huh? But how are we going to tell the world about Jesus if we're afraid to tell a crowd that Jesus loves them? Listen, the only one we should fear is God. But sadly, people saved and unsaved act like they don't fear God. It's funny how the things we're not supposed to fear, we fear. And the person we should fear, we don't.
Come on, there it is. Come on.
Because if we feared God, we would mind God. If we had a fear, man, to stand before God, listen, God is love. Yes, He'll love you all the way And that's not a good thing.
Right.
Huh? But listen, this is why we should live our life right before God. Try our best. I ain't saying you gotta be perfect. None of us are. But if you try your best, if you pray and you read your Bible and you say, God, I'm gonna do my best to honor you with my life by being obedient to your word. I'm not gonna have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I wanna walk with you, God. I wanna live in fear of the Lord. So therefore, I have set my heart not to sin against the Lord. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I have made a covenant with my eyes that I may not look upon a young woman with lust. I have made a covenant with my heart that I will not lust after the worldly things of this world, because I want to live right for your honor and for your glory, because I respect you, I reverence you, and I will know one day that I'm going to stand before you to give an account.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Yes, I thank God for the blood of Jesus.
That's right, amen.
Because his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
But I want to live in fear of God.
That's right. Amen.
Some of us act like we ain't never going to stand before God.
My.
And we just do whatever we want to do.
My, oh my. Come
on. Sleep with whoever we want to sleep with.
Oh.
Ingest everything we want to ingest.
Yeah, come on.
Say anything we want to say.
Wow. Come on.
We need to have a healthy fear of God.
That's right. That's right, Pastor.
But we're more afraid of what the world says.
Come on.
Wow.
See, listen. The more you trust God, the less fear you will carry in this world.
Amen, amen.
The more you trust God. This is why, this is why as a Christian, the Bible says we don't mourn the way the world mourns whenever we pass away. Listen, yes, you know, it's not an easy thing to lose somebody. Right. It's not an easy thing to face death. But the psalmist said in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup running over. The psalmist is saying, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil, because I know that Jesus is with me. I know who stands next to me. Have a fear. This is why as Christians we don't mourn the way the world mourns. We're able to have peace. It's not easy, but we're able to have peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Some are afraid to surrender to God and answer the call of God. There's some here that you might be afraid of surrendering to God, surrendering your all, because you know that you got a calling on your life. Some are afraid to obey God. See, the problem is that they're not trusting God. Many callings go unfulfilled because of fear and a lack of trusting God. You know, I'm sure that my daughter Alexis and Celeste and even Magali and Brian had some fear about going to a whole nother country for 6 months. Knowing no one there at the UTC in Panama. But these were young adults, 20-somethings. Huh? You don't think they had fear to go to a different country that they didn't know nobody? They didn't know nobody?
Wow.
Not just for 1 week, not just for 2 weeks. I went for 2 weeks and I was missing home.
Hello.
They made a decision to go to for 6 months.
Right.
Wow, my God. Huh? But they faced their fears and they fulfilled part of their calling on their life.
Yeah.
Some of you, you may be called to the mission fields. You may be called to South Africa, to South America, to San Salvador, to Brazil, to Europe, to Russia, to China, to Japan. Are you going to let fear hold you back? When God has a world for you. There's too many Christians that allow fear to hold them back. There's couples that there's a city with your name on it. You have the goods. You fear God. You love God and you love people. But fear is holding you back from answering the call. You see, catch this. Fear is not the absence of courage. but the presence of trust in God. I don't think that came out right. It sounded right when I wrote it. My point is this. Listen, when you put your trust in God, it's not that you don't have fear, but it's that you have the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
It's not that you don't have fear, but it's that you have the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
Listen, I would lie to you. Fear don't sometimes come into my heart. But I know what to do when that happens. I know to get into God's presence. I know to hit my knees and begin to talk to Jesus. And you know what begins to happen? All of a sudden, when I'm facing something that brings a little fear in my life, listen, all of a sudden what happens is that all of a sudden the presence of Jesus comes upon my life. The Holy Spirit comes upon my life. And all of a sudden there's a little bit of courage that rises up inside of me. Why? Because I tap into the power of God. I tap into the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then later on, a few chapters later, we see that Peter rises. Rises up with power and he begins to preach before hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Why? Because he overcame his fear. Because before that, he was hiding. They were in the upper room. But listen, God called him to preach. God called him to be a pastor. So when he tapped in to the Holy Spirit, when he tapped into the power, he got the courage to overcome his fear. And that's what we have to do, Victory Outreach. That's what we have to do, people of God. We have to tap into God's power every day so that we can have the courage to face whatever comes our way.
That's right, Pastor.
Some fear of letting something or someone go in order to honor God. You got to draw near to God and trust him and watch him work it out for you for your good. You got to trust God. The second thing this morning is trusting God is committing your plans to him. Another sign that shows you trust God is when you commit your plans to him. Psalms 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. Listen, again, this has to do with letting go of your plans in exchange for his plans for your life. My all-time favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This verse got me through so much at the beginning of my salvation. The first few years of my salvation, this verse got me through so much because it was at this stage of my salvation that I had to constantly surrender my puny plans for his master plan. Some of us, we got puny plans, and God has a master plan, but you got to surrender your plan for his plan. Trusting God is committing your plans to him.
Yes,
see, committing your plans to God. Who has a notebook? You didn't got a notebook. Just wait right there. This is how committing your plans to God is. Open your notebook. Little nice plans there. This is how it is committing your plans to God. It's like bringing them to your pastor. Look, Pastor, this is the plan I got right here. This is the plan I got. Pastor, read your plans. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How about your pen? Okay, take that out. Okay, there you go, right there. That's better. Go. Or sometimes, come back up here. Oh, these are your plans? Oh, nice. These are your plans?
Yeah. Hello. Oh, no.
That's how it is sometimes to commit your plans to God.
That's right.
It's like bringing your plans to your pastor or your parents. Come on, teenagers. Or your leaders. They look at it, and if it's a great plan, they look at it and give it the okay, the thumbs up.
Right.
That rarely happens. Or they look at it, and they tear it all up or mark it all up and give you a whole new plan.
Right.
Or at least change some things in your plan that you don't like.
Come on.
And you leave like, oh man. See, that's why I don't tell them my plans. That's why I don't bring them my plans. Many treat God the same way. They don't bring their plans to God because of fear of Him changing those plans, or maybe all out throwing those plans out the window. It's like the singles. I met a guy.
Yeah, come on.
I met a gal.
Come on.
Did you pray about it? I met a guy. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah, come on.
Huh? As a single, do you bring that guy to God?
Come on.
Oh, come on now.
Come on now.
Do you bring that gal before the presence of God?
Come on now.
Oh, and I'm talking about really bringing them before the presence of God through prayer. Amen. And saying, God, you need to show me, God, if this is the right one. But oh, singles, don't do that because they don't want that one to be eliminated.
Wow. Uh-oh.
Come on now. Even as parents, we do the same thing. We have our own plans. But do we bring those plans to God? See, part of committing your plans to the Lord is to bring them to your spiritual leader and see what he or she thinks of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Because of what the one of the opening verses says in 2 Chronicles 20:20. Have faith in his prophets.
Come on now.
And you will succeed.
Right.
I want you to know your leaders have the mind of God and the heart of God. That's why God raised them up. God gave you shepherds after his own heart.
Yeah.
To help shepherd you.
Amen. Right.
When's the last time you brought your plans?
Oh my.
Not only to prayer, but to your shepherd.
Oh my, oh my.
Anybody there? Huh? Oh, well, we don't need to do that. That's control. No, it ain't on controlling. It's called getting advice.
Come on now, dude.
It's called getting counsel.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I don't need advice. I don't need counsel because I know it all. I got this. I graduated high school. I went to a little university. Yeah, but you didn't. Come on, somebody. You need to know the Word of God. What's the Word of God say about your situation? What your circumstance? You need somebody that's not going to compromise. You need somebody that's not going to. That's in the middle. Come on, somebody. That listen is that you're. You, listen. I want to tell you something. You're biased to your situation.
Right. Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
You're biased to your circumstance.
Right.
You need somebody in the middle that's not going to be biased.
Come on now, amen.
But that's going to look through the lens of God.
Ooh,
oh, come on, somebody.
Right, amen.
We got to learn to trust God with our plans, even if He changes them or throws them out the window. Some of our plans, they need to be changed, and some of those plans need to be thrown out the window. And you need to commit your plans and your ways to the Lord if you want success in this Christian life. In this Christian life, if you want to be successful as a Christian, then you need to submit your plans to God, my friend. Submit your plans to the Lord. If you want to be successful in the world, that's a whole other thing, my friend. The world and God, it's two different things, my friend. The world and the way the kingdom works, they operate on two different systems.
Right.
But I don't know about you, I just don't want to be successful in the world. I want to be successful in my Father's eyes.
Right, amen, amen.
Number three, trusting God is not counting on your own abilities. Psalms 44, verse 6 through 8 says, I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. Amen. You put our adversaries to shame. And God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Trusting God is not counting on your own abilities, how you swing the sword, or how you shoot the bow, or how you type 100 words in 1 minute. This is not easy to not trust in your own abilities, because every day we use our abilities. The Bible is not saying to not use your abilities, but it's saying don't put your trust in those abilities. What happens when you trust in your own abilities? I'm going to tell you what happens when you trust in your own abilities. Pride happens. Right. Not trusting in our abilities is God's way of keeping us humble and dependent on Him. Amen. But when we trust in our own abilities, pride happens, and pride comes before a fall.
Amen.
We must understand that at any given moment, church, our abilities can be taken away. Huh? If you're a good mechanic, listen, man. Anything can happen.
Right.
Anything can happen. Huh? Anything can happen. I share a story. I remember my mom. She used to work making doors. She was a good door maker. One time she had an accident and cut her fingers. She had to be off work for a long time. I share that story to say this: anything can happen.
Right, right.
Nobody ever expects an accident to take place.
Right.
This is why you should not trust in your abilities and your own know-how, but trust in God's ability.
Amen.
Put your ability, put your trust in God. Your abilities can be taken away, but our ability to trust God can never be taken away.
Amen.
And faith in God can move mountains. Therefore, giving you the ability never to be moved from God's promises for your life. The last thing, number four. Trusting God is to have strength and assurance from Him. Trusting God is to have strength from God and assurance from God. Psalms 125 verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Listen, when you put your trust in God, you cannot be moved. You cannot be shaken. And it doesn't matter if people try to move you, if the enemy tries to move you, because your trust is in God, you stand still. One of the signs that somebody trusts God is they stand still and they know that He is God, and they're unmovable in their situation. They don't compromise with sin. They don't compromise with their values that are in God, but they're unmovable in their values and in their principles. Nobody can come in and try to preach to them another gospel, because they know the gospel that they have heard. They know that it's true. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came down to this earth, led a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, and He resurrected on the third day.
Come on.
They believe in that with all their hearts.
Right, amen.
Psalms 9 verse 10 says, those who know your name will trust in you. Do you know His name?
Come on now.
If not, get to know His name this morning.
That's right, amen.
As Christians, our strength comes from the Lord. This is why we don't mourn like the world, complain like the world,
right,
or fret like the world. We shouldn't complain like the world. We shouldn't be afraid like the world. Because we understand that Jesus is our rock. We understand that He is our fortress and our strong tower, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. As the piano player comes up, I close by giving you a few trust-building exercises. Can I give you some trust-building exercises real quick? There's four of them. Pray. Pray. What's going to build your trust in God? Prayer. What do you do in prayer? You ask, you listen, and then you obey. If you want to build your trust in God, these are some exercises. The first thing is pray. Say pray.
Pray.
In prayer, you know what you got to do? You got to ask God. Ask Him for what you need. You need favor? Ask Him. You need resources? Ask Him. You need strength? Ask Him. You need joy? Ask Him. You need peace? Ask Him. Whatever it is you need, ask Him. You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Then guess what? Don't just be a blabbermouth before God. Listen to God.
Yeah.
There's some people that they
they talk too much. Some people probably they just talk too much. Sometimes you need to and listen. So in prayer is the same way. You just gotta listen to God. Listen for his still small voice. Listen to his prompting. Listen to his guidance. Listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. And then once he speaks to you, you got to obey. The second exercise is reading your Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible. Get on a one-year plan of reading your Bible.
Amen.
Stick to the plan. If you fall off a couple of days or a couple of weeks, just jump back on.
Amen.
Use technology to your advantage. Yeah. Get the Bible app.
Yeah, amen.
You can read. You can complete your plan in your 15-minute break at work.
Yeah.
In your 30-minute lunch at work before you go to work. Why? This builds trust. You're building a relationship with God through prayer and reading the Bible. Not only read your Bible, but read a book. Read a Christian book.
Yeah.
Read a book on leadership. Or an area of interest in your life, or an area that you're struggling. Are you struggling with women, single men, or even married men? Get the book, Every Man's Battle.
Yeah.
Ladies, are you struggling with men and the opposite sex? Get the book, Every Young Woman's Battle, Every Woman's Battle. Are you dealing with torments and you get depressed, you get oppressed?
Amen.
Get a book on spiritual warfare. Get the battlefield of the mind. Are you doing ministry, leader, and you're doing ministry and you feel like you're hitting a wall? Get the book of our ministry, Treasures Out of Darkness, Internalizing the Vision. Get some John Maxwell books and feed yourself. You know what these do? They help you trust in God. They build your trust. They build your faith. This is the things that I do in my life. It builds my trust and my confidence. This is why we're able to do things. This is why we're able to take a step of faith. Tomorrow is a step of faith we're taking. He's either going to laugh at us, yell at us, or cry with us. Come on, somebody. You'll get that later. Huh? It's a step of faith.
Right, man.
It's a step of faith. Then thirdly, what builds trust in God is serving God.
Amen.
Serve. Step out of the boat. Step out and serve in ministry.
Amen.
I mean, this is serve. This step out of the boat is number four. But three is serve. Step out and serve in ministry. Some of you, you may not be serving right now. You come into church and you're like, man, I love hearing the word. I love, man, the message is great, but I feel like God has more. I feel like God wants to use me. But you're afraid, you're holding back, there's something holding you back, you're a little fear, what if I can't make it? What if I'm not able to do it? Listen, you're trusting your abilities. It's not about your ability, it's about your availability. Are you available for God? Step out and join the kids gang ministry. Step out and become a teacher. Become a helper. Step out and join the choir. Join the worship team. Step out and join a street team on Wednesday or Friday night or Saturday night and go to the streets and share your testimony or just go with a group of people. Step out and come to the prayer. The pastor's prayer partners at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. Step out and join a life group on Tuesday. Join the married couples life group. Join the single women's life group. Join the single men's life group. Join the gang life group. Yeah, step out. Step out and join the usher team. Oh, those guys that look like, you know, look like bodyguards, those guys that wear the suits and sat at the, yeah, be one of those. We can use more people to hand out tithing envelopes. We can use more people to greet at the door with a smile. Some of you got a great smile. Come on, you got all your teeth. Hello, somebody. Use them teeth for the honor and the glory of God. Use that Colgate smile for the honor and glory of God. Even if you're scared to talk, you ain't got to say anything. Just smile. Cheese it. Hello, somebody. Step out and serve in ministry. And the last exercise, number four, step out of the boat. Take the steps of faith. How do you do this? By giving. Become a regular tither. Become a regular tither. That's stepping out of the boat. If you're not a giver, if you're not a regular tither yet,
make a decision to say, you know what, I'm gonna step out of the boat. I don't know if this is gonna work because I got a lot of bills, I got a lot of things to take care of, but I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna trust God with this 10%, and I'm gonna trust that He's gonna stretch the 90% to do what that other 100% could not do. That's what God does.
Right.
When you start off giving that 10%, that tithe to God, He stretches the 90% you have left over to do what the 100% could never do.
Amen.
Step out of faith and become a tither or become a kingdom builder.
Amen.
A kingdom builder. $50 a month. Some of you, you're already tithers. Step out of faith and start and say, I'm going to give extra. I'm going to give an extra $50 a day to become a kingdom builder.
Amen.
Because I want to be a part of the future of my church. That's what kingdom builders are. It's our building fund for the future of our church, for your children that are going to get saved in this church, for your children like Frankie, that my son Frankie plays the drums on Friday nights. I'm ready to put him up here on Sunday mornings. Come on, somebody.
Come on, amen.
But one day you're going to be your son. It's going to be your son on the saxophone. It's going to be your son, daughter on the piano. It's going to be them leading us in worship. It's better for them to serve God in God's house than to serve the enemy and for them to be singing for the enemy out there. Step out in faith and become a United We Can member.
Amen.
Give a dollar a day. These are steps. These are faith building exercises.
Yeah.
This is trust building exercises. Step out of the boat by going to the streets. Go to the streets. Trust God that He's going to use you. Trust God. Just put your trust in God. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. As we all stand here this morning, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Listen to me, Victory Outreach and people of Grand Prairie and of Dallas-Fort Worth. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. I know I'm challenged. There's a lot of challenges here this morning. But God is saying, I'm going to uphold you if you answer that challenge. If you trust me, I'm not going to let you falter or fail. Trust. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. You know why I found success? Because I have put my faith in God and my trust in my leaders. I put my life in my pastor's hands. One time we asked him in a meeting, Pastor, how do you know when a man is ready to be launched out to take a city? He said, when that man or that couple can put their life in my hands. He didn't say God's hands, he said His hands. He has, you know, some little hands, but those hands can still crush you. But that hit me so hard. I said, you know, I can put my life in God's hands, but to put my life in my pastor's hands, I had to think about that. I had to count the cost. But the day finally came that I said, you know what, I can, because that man has never led me astray. I've never heard a message from behind that pulpit that he preached from that was in error or that was wrong. Because I came into Victory Outreach, I came in 2 years being saved. I came in knowing the Bible. So I came in, I knew my word. I didn't know everything. I thought I knew it all. I found out that was pride later on. But as I heard the message, I said, amen. That's right, Pastor. Amen. That's good. That's right. Right on. For about 8 years that I sat under his teaching, I learned to trust my pastor. I learned to trust the man of God. I learned to trust his guidance. And for the important decisions in my life, I thank God I had parents to help me. But I thank God I had a spiritual advisor to help me as well. And for the major things in my life, I would go to my pastor. Even when I started liking my wife Sylvia and I really had feelings for her, I felt like it was something like of God. I had to go to him and say, Pastor, what do you think? I have feelings for this girl.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty. pretty in the face, slim in the waist. But I see her, and she loves God. She's a servant. I see her in the church. And he gave me advice. You know? He says, you know what? She's a good girl. She's a good girl. You got to be good to for each other. I remember at one time I talked to him about another girl. That's after a lot of prayer. And he had to pray. He really had to pray and seek the face of God. At first he said, you know what? Try it out. Try it. But then after he prayed for a few months, he came back. And him and his wife sat me down and said, listen, I know you got feelings for this girl, but we see something. And I want you to know that you have a calling on your life, Cisco. But we don't see the same thing in her life. I thank God for pastors that are real. That are not afraid to tell us things they know that we may not like, but to tell us the things that we need to hear. And I listened to him. I listened to him and Sister Valerie. They talked, they spoke into my life. They says, you know, the best thing to do is slow it down. Matter of fact, cut it off. I said, oh, we had some strong feelings. My wife knows, she's gone through the same thing. But I learned to trust my pastors. And I was obedient. And I said, okay, I will. I'll obey. And I did. And sure enough, I did. And God revealed it later on. And if I would have said yes to her, if I would have said yes to the good, I would have disqualified myself for the best.
Wow, man.
For the best. Sometimes you got to say no to the good to say yes to God's best. You gotta learn to trust God. You gotta trust God. Listen, you gotta trust God that God put the right shepherds in your life. There's too many people that jump from church to church. I don't understand. I don't do that. I didn't do that. You know why? Because I trusted God that God brought me to the right place.
Right, amen.
He brought me to the right people. He brought me to the right shepherd.
Yes.
I got out of prison. I never was involved in church life. I got out of prison and I was reading the Bible in there. And then God led me to Victory Outreach East Dallas. And I got there and I knew that God led me there because it was His divine hand. It was His divine hand leading me there. It was all orchestrated by God. And I was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I was led by the Holy Spirit. And when I landed there, I knew this is the place that God had me. Even when I was stepping to the men's home for the very first time on a Friday night, I'll never forget my mom and my brother dropped me off. They dropped me off at a house that looked like the Addams Family house. And I walked into that place, and as soon as I walked in, there was a guy that looked like, you know, like one of the monsters. And then he gave me a tour of the place, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started praying for me, and he showed me my room. And he said, this is where you'll be staying. And I opened up the room, and a big water roach ran across the room. And I said, oh my God, my brother looked at me. I looked at him. He said, bro, this ain't the place for you. I said, we had the little roaches. They got the big ones. I felt the power of God in that place. I felt the presence of God in that home. I felt the presence of Jesus like never before. And I knew in my heart I'm in the right place. God brought me to His will. God brought me to the perfect place. And I looked at my brother and I said, this is the place. Because I can feel the presence of God here. And I hope that when people come into our church, they feel the presence of God here. I hope when men come into our home, I know it's not the best place, guys. I hope that when women come into the home, I know it's not the most comfortable conditions. But I pray and hope that the power and the presence of God is still active and alive in our homes. And they are. Why? Because our homes are filled. And I don't know. Sometimes I ask myself, why you stay there? I know it's the power of God. I know it's because we have leaders and pastors that pray. You have home directors that pray. My point is this. I knew God brought me to the right place. And I graduated the home. I came into the church. And I stayed in the church. And I felt the power of God in that church. and I'm still in the same church, Victory Outreach. I've never left this church because I knew God brought me to the right place. Why would I uproot myself? Just because times get hard, just because I hear a message that I don't agree with, it got get convicted, or you know, and whatever, somebody didn't shake my hand, or the pastor didn't say hi to me. I said, no, God, you brought me here. I trusted your guidance. Ultimately is that I trust you. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I trust your guidance. I trust your omnipresence. I trust your omnipotent. I trust you know, and you're in control. And so therefore, God, I will stand still and know that you are God. I will not be moved, but I will put my trust in the name of the Lord. And if that's you here this morning, you want to put your trust in God. You don't want to be moved. I want you to come to this altar and lift your hand and say, God, here I am. I trust you. My life is yours. I surrender to your will. Oh, God, here I am. Here I am. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. If you're dealing with fear, if you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with anxiety, I want you to come. I want you to come. Before the Lord, I want you to come and lay that plan down before God. Oh, yes. ever put your trust in God, never before today, today you say, you know what, this is my first day that I want to surrender my life to God. This is the first day I want to put my trust in God, and I want to be saved. You want Jesus to save you here this morning from your sins, and you want to become a Christian. Listen, it's the best thing that I ever did. On that day, I became a new man. I became a new person. God took the worst. He took the worst of the worst and changed my life. But he's able to take the goody-goody and make them better. So no matter who you are here this morning, if God is, you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, you feel God, you feel something inside like calling you, pulling at you. You never felt this before. I want you to know that that's the presence of God. He's knocking at the door of your heart and he's asking to come in. Will you let him in this morning? You're just one prayer away to eternity.
Hallelujah.
If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. 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 Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Say this prayer if you have your hands raised. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I put my trust in you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you are my Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins, and you resurrected from the dead. That took a lot of power. With that same power, change me. Change my mind. Change my heart. Take away fear. Give me peace. Teach me to trust you. Because my life is now yours. I surrender and I give it to you. In the name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, I want you to know you're saved now. You're a Christian. That's it.
Hallelujah.
But I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I'm not going to promise you that it's going to be easy. No, you have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. But God is greater. He's greater. And he's going to protect you. And he's going to keep you. And I want to pray for God to surround you with his power, with his presence, with his angels to keep you. So church, can we pray that prayer?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift them up to you. We pray for your keeping power upon their lives. We pray for your presence to envelop them, encircle them, enrich them, permeate their hearts, permeate their soul, permeate their minds. Take full control of their lives as they surrender to you, God. What an exciting day. What a beautiful moment. I pray, God, that they'll never be the same. They'll continue to come to your feet. They'll continue to come to hear your word. They'll get into your word. Lord, we commit them to the Holy Spirit. I pray that the church would surround them and love on them, befriend them, disciple them, and train them. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Will you bless this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just feel led in my spirit. Amen. I believe this morning, amen. Anybody get touched by the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. It's good to know. Is anybody willing to testify what Jesus did? Anybody? Anybody willing to testify? Amen. Keith, you want to testify? Anybody else willing to testify what you felt this morning? Real quick. Come on up here, Keith. Anybody else? You sure? Willing to testify? Real quick, Keith.
I want to thank God for bringing me out the hospital. I want to thank God that I ain't got asthma no more.
Amen. Give it up for Keith. Anybody else who want to testify? Come on up here. Come on up here. Amen. We'll dismiss here a little bit real quick.
So I've been having a really hard time. I left the home, and ever since I came back, it's like get out of this pit that I was in. It's like I dug myself. I wanted to do things my own way, like Pastor said. I had all of these plans, and every plan I had, it failed. And everything that my leaders told me, I wouldn't listen. So everything that I did, it failed. I literally went home, and I mean, I'm not even allowed to go back anymore. That's how bad it got. And when I left, the door, it got stuck closed. It wouldn't even open. Like, literally, in the word, it says, no man can open. The door, I couldn't open it. And so I came back, and I had a really hard time in my walk lately. And I, you know, you can be in the home and not be saved, because I haven't been saved. And then he told me today that if I would, you know, give my life to him, that I would change, because I don't want to be that same person anymore.
Right.
And when I went home, like from the day to the night, from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep, it was just fighting. And I was used to living that way because that's how I was raised, you know, around drugs and drinking and fighting. And so when things get normal, I destroy it. Like, I'll let the enemy come in and destroy all of the work, you know, because that's what I'm used to. So if things are going well, I tend to revert. And if someone tells me to do something that's better, I'll do something that's worse. You know, the things that I want to do that I don't do, that Paul spoke about, that's how I am. But whenever I said the sinner's prayer, this is why I wanted to testify, because in the word it says that you're made an overcomer by the blood and the words of our testimony. That we didn't love our lives until death. But when I was saying the prayer, because, you know, when you get down and you've been walking, especially, you know, you're known in the church, in the home, people expect you to be saved, but sometimes in your heart, you're not saved. So you have to be bold enough to be like, you know what, because it's hard to raise your hand once you're there, because you're like, well, people are going to see me, and they know when I'm supposed to be saved right now, but I'm not saved. I'm not doing the right thing. I'm not being a great example. I'm not even being a good example. And I'm usually the ones sitting there saying, no, don't do that. Do this. No, what are you doing over here? Hey, come on over there. And that example should, I haven't been walking through it. But when I said the prayer, and this is why I'm testifying, it's because I started feeling all this weight lifting off me. And it wasn't a little bit of weight. It was like a lot of weight. And it was like, it filled a lot of space that I was being burdened with, but it was like load after load that I could feel being lifted off of me. So that's what I wanted to testify.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord some praise. Amen. Don't forget, amen. Amen. Get plugged into your life group on Tuesday. Amen. Praise the Lord. No life flow tonight. Next Sunday, we resume life flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be blessed this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, those that want to join with us, the fast starts at 6. If you want to join with us, pray for favor. Amen. You got it?
Amen.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go enjoy your Sunday. Amen. Be blessed. We love you. God loves you. God bless you.
I'm going to play, though. Yeah. Because you're trying to leave, and I don't need you, and I need you to focus at some point. Focus on me, though.
I'm going to be playing here and don't say Thank you. Lord, I pray that you will be filled with the Yes. I know it's
Glory to God.
Yes. person.
Out in danger, so it, I mean, so how would I,
Thank you.